Die Bukowina war, glaube ich, wenn ich nichts übersehen habe, schon gestern prominent vertreten und wurde immer wieder angesprochen. Sicher kein Zufall. Heute gibt es eine eigene Sektion, die den Titel Projektionsraum Bukowina trägt. Für diese Sektion konnten zwei ausgewiesene Kollegen für das Thema gewonnen werden. Und nun ändere ich kurz die Sprache. Und zwar zunächst einmal konnte Herr Melchior Jakubowski gewonnen werden. Mr. Melchior Jakubowski, and thank you very much for joining us, kommt vom working at the Institute of History of the Polish Academy of Sciences. He made his bachelor degree in art history at the University of Warsaw. 2015, also the degree in history on the University of Warsaw. And in 2020, he had his PhD also at the same university. And his PhD thesis was published this year, the title Religious and Ethnic Landscapes of Bukovina, Ludgate and the Suwalki region in the turn of the 18th century. And this is, I suppose, the most important reason why Mr. Jakubowski was invited to join us and to give us an insight on his comparative focus on this important subject. With his PhD thesis, we have seen already his focus, the focus he is working on. He had a grant project on this subject, and now he is working in a grant project that's called Jesuits at the East, Artistic Networks of the Basilian Order in the 18th Century Poland-Lithuania. This project started in 2021 and will last till 2024. That's for short. Mr. Jakubowski, thank you again for joining us, and the floor is yours. Please.
Vielen Dank. Thank you. I will speak English. I think it will be not only easier for me to speak, but also for you to understand what I'm talking about. Bukovina is widely recognized because of harmonious coexistence of many confessional and ethnic groups. You can find in the literature repeated many times such expressions as Bukovina being Europe in miniature or Switzerland of the East. There is also a very nice concept of Homo Bukovinensis, so the man who is willing to live peacefully with others, something that was made as a contrary to Homo Sovieticus. So, Bukovina is, I think you all very well know, the easternmost province of the Habsburg monarchy. Was very well studied, starting from the 19th century. Many scholars, mostly of German language, wrote much about Bukovina, and this interest still continues and from the moment when the Duchy of Bukovina ceased to exist. And actually, from that moment, it started to be mythologized as a paradise of many confessions and nations. However, what I would like to do is to question the uniqueness of this multicultural microcosm of Bukovina. Even if you look at the simplified, generalized map of nations in the Habsburg Empire, you see that Bukovina was by no means the only multi-ethnic province of the empire. And what I would like to present is actually some parts of the results of my PhD project, as Professor Baer already mentioned. It was published this year, and unfortunately for you, only in Polish. So I put here the original front cover and the translation of the title. Religious and Ethnic Landscape of Bukovina, Latgale and the Suwałki Region at the Turn of the 18th Century. State and Church Institutions Facing the Local Communities. And here you've got the three regions marked. So you all know Bukovina well, I think, but two other regions, not necessarily. Suwałki region is here, as I've learned yesterday. Some of you now know Suwałki because of current geopolitical situation, but I was interested in it for totally different reasons. And the third, and so Suwałki region is nowadays divided between Poland and Lithuania. The third region, Latgale, that is contemporary eastern Latvia. And in each of the regions, I've chose then one case study. Each case study that was a rather small town with several villages next to it. So in the case of Bukovina, my case was Siret and its environs. In Suwałki, Siret is nowadays on the Romanian side of the Romanian-Ukrainian border that cut Bukovina. Jeleniewo in Suwałki region on the Polish side of this border, and Wiśki in Latgale. And what do I mean by religious and ethnic landscape? So generally, the spatial relations between various confessional and ethnic groups living in the same area. And these are the areas where settlement processes resulted in simultaneousness of socioeconomic and landscape changes. So that, hence landscape in the title. The regions were chosen because of their similarity according to confessional religious groups living there. So everywhere in all these three regions lived Roman Catholics, Lutherans, Old Believers and Jews. We also had Orthodox Christians and Greek Catholics in Bukovina and Latgale, Armenians of two rites in Bukovina, and Muslim Tatars in Suwałki region. And now the central part of my presentation will be a short introduction into these three case studies, these three areas, and the results of the research carried there. So I'll start with Bukovina. Here you can see where it is Siret on the map of Austrian Bukovina. And now a few words about the community living there. Here you have the short account of the confessional structure of the settlement that I was interested in, with the majority of Orthodox Christians, but also Roman Catholics, Lutherans, Jews, and Old Believers present. And according to ethnic structure, it's impossible to have the numbers for this period of time. But we can assume that there lived Moldavians and Ruthenians, so future Romanians and Ukrainians, Germans, Jews, Poles, Russians, Hungarians, and Armenians. Here you can see the distribution of places of worship and cemeteries in this area of all these religious groups that I listed in a moment before. And just to visualize this multi-confessional landscapes, some photographs of old believers' churches, a Catholic church, a synagogue, one of the old Christian cemeteries, a Catholic cemetery, and a Jewish cemetery in Siret as well. What I found very interesting, that was this documentation from the metrical records of Roman Catholic and Lutheran Protestant parishes in this area. So we can start with Roman Catholic parish in Siret. And you can see here that in this parish there were quite many not Catholics baptized by a Catholic priest in a Catholic church, although parents of a child were not Catholic. The confession usually was not indicated, but we can assume from their surnames and general context that these were mostly Lutherans. From the German colonies in Siret and around it. I think that marriages are even more interesting, because here you can see that there were quite many mixed marriages altogether in this period of time from 1780 till 1820. It was about 16% of all the marriages, where only one side was Catholic, and the other usually Protestant, and among Protestants usually Lutheran. But there were also some marriages where both parts were not Catholic, but they still got wed in a Catholic church. The highest concentration can be seen around 1790, and that's the moment when German settlers have already come to Bukovina and settled near Siret, but they still did not have their own parish. There was no Protestant church in Bukovina in that period, so that's pretty understandable why they went to the Catholic priest. However, some scattered cases are also in the later period, when there already was a Protestant minister in Bukovina. The Protestant parish for Bukovina was established in Miliszewci and in 1790s, and its documentation is also well preserved. And what can we see on this map? You can see the distribution, spatial distribution of baptism recorded in Miliszewci in the first quarter of century that its documentation covers, so more or less first quarter of the 19th century. And the area of Siret is very poorly represented in this record. But, once again, let me remind you that there were many Protestant children baptized in the Catholic Church. And my thesis is that it's because of distances and travel time, that it's over 20 kilometers from Milishevci to Siret. So in that time, it required actually a whole day of journey there and back again, not to count the time spent in the church. And it's also visible in the Milishevci records that the faithful went to the church quite rarely. It's also visible in the book of deaths, that deaths in various settlements were recorded actually once or twice in a year. That once or twice in a year, the pastor visited the community, or someone from the community visited the pastor to let him know who died in the time between. So you can see that that many baptisms in Milishevci were from the villages, settlements closest to the church. But in the area of Siret, there were not so many of them. I mean, this map only partly reflects the distribution of Protestant communities in Bukovina. For example, from the village of Bajnet, we know there were confirmations of Lutheran children, although these children were not baptized in a Lutheran church, so they had to be baptized in the Catholic one. Okay, and I think that's for a moment enough about Bukovina. In Suwałki region, my case is area of Jeleniewo. Once again, a few words about the confessional and ethnic structure there. In this case, it's impossible to have precise numbers because the documentation is less scrupulous than it was in the case of Siret. But again, you can see that in this settlement, in this area, there were Roman Catholics, Lutherans, Jews, and old believers present. Once again, here I mention Lutheran baptisms held in a Catholic church. This is how it looks like on a map, with one Jewish and Catholic center in the town of Jeleniewo, and Old Believers Village, and some village cemeteries used commonly by Catholic and Lutheran inhabitants. And once again, just to visualize it, a Catholic church, one of this historically Catholic Lutheran cemeteries, later used only by Lutherans and now abandoned, Jewish cemetery, and an Old Believers church. Here I also made a map with Lutheran baptisms. In the case of Suwałki region, the Lutheran parish was established also in 1790s for the settlers coming from the neighboring Eastern Prussia. The seat of the parish was located in the village of Chmielówka. And once again, it's quite distant from the villages that I was interested in. It's also about over 20 kilometers. And here you can also see that the majority of baptisms recorded in Chmielówka were from the vicinity of the parish church, and just little cases from the area of Jeleniewo. However, in the Jeleniewo Parish Church, the Catholic priest recorded some baptisms of Lutheran children, usually called their dissidentes or Luteranis simply. And actually, these dots are small. I mean, you see that there are only 1, 2, 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, I think. Baptisms, but that's certainly just a part of this picture, because I have my favorite example, that was Daniel Mordes from the village of Sidorówka, who was recorded as the father or godfather in the Jeleniewo Catholic records 11 times, but only 3 times with a remark that he is Lutheran. So I mean, the share of Lutherans is evidently underestimated in this records. That in many cases, the priest simply didn't bother to mention that. By the way, in Jeleniewo it was also quite interesting that the priest a few times used in 1790s the expression that parents and godparents are all Catholics, omnes catholici. So generally it should be obvious in a Catholic church that all are Catholics, but the priest was so used to dissenters coming there that he sometimes indicated that in this case everyone was Catholic. Oh, and sorry, I forgot to tell you a few words about the ethnic relations here. You see the confessions, but the area was inhabited by Poles, Lithuanians, Jews, Russian Old Believers, German settlers, and a few scattered Tatar families. So there was also Muslim presence there, but a very, very small. Okay, and now we go to Latgale, so eastern Latvia, the area that belonged to Poland-Lithuania and then to the Russian Empire, with my focus on the area of Wyszki. And here is a map of this area with Catholic, Old Believers, and Jewish places of worship and burial. And according to ethnic relations, the majority of the inhabitants were Latgalians or Latvians. It's a very disputed thing whether Latgalians are Latvians or a separate nation. There were also Russian Old Believers, Belarusians, Poles, and the Jews. Here we cannot provide statistic for confessions and ethnicities, but we can also list the confessions present there as here just symbolized by the religious sites. So one of the Old Believers churches, Roman Catholic Church, Orthodox Church, and Jewish cemetery. Everything is not far from each other. Yeah, so just a few words about Latgale, and now I would like to go to slides with less pictures but more text, with some comparative remarks with actually results of my research. And first thing is the state attitude towards different religious groups. In all three regions, at the end of the 18th century, the state belonging was changed, and in each case, it was that the new rule was different confessionally to the old one and to the inhabitants of the area. So to Orthodox Bukovina came the rule of Catholic Austria, while to Catholic Suwałki Lutheran Prussia, and Catholic Latgale was annexed by Orthodox Russia. And in the documentation of all these three states is very visible that each government supported this religious community that was connected with the ruling elites. For example, there was a period of time in Siret when there was no Catholic church and the local, very small and Catholic community that consisted foremost of officials and military servants, they gathered for worship in the town hall. And exactly the same happened in one of the cities of Latgale, that Orthodox faithful gathered in the town hall, because there was no Orthodox church in this new province of Orthodox Russian Empire. A very similar phenomenon in two regions, in Bukovina and Suwałki, was the discovery of the old believers by the authorities. I will not go into details now, but it was a quite similar process of discovering and with similar misunderstandings and similar problems that occurred when the officials encountered this strange religious community. Certainly in all three regions, all three states tried to civilize and assimilate Jews with very little result in that period. What I've already mentioned is service by clergy of another denomination. In Bukovina and Latgale, you can find cases of Greek Catholics in a Roman Catholic church. It's quite understandable. There are both Catholic groups, but we have also Lutherans in the Roman Catholic churches of Bukovina and Suwałki, while in Latgale, even old believers in a Roman Catholic church. Baptizing Lutherans or old believers in a Catholic church was strictly against the official policy of the church. It was prohibited. Even in Latgale we have a visitation from 1761 that prohibited priests straight to offer any service to old believers. But in the parish of Wiszki in the following years we've got many examples of baptizing old believers or even administering weddings for them. We have also many cases of mixed marriages that are widely considered a crucial factor of integration. We've got Roman and Greek Catholics in Bukovina and Latgale, very popular marriages of Catholics with Lutherans in Bukovina and Suwałki. In Bukovina, there's also a few cases of Lutheran Orthodox marriages, while in Latgale, Roman Catholics with old believers. I assume that there were many more possibilities. I just show you what was clearly visible in the documentation I worked on. We also have dissenters acting as godparents in a Catholic church. Also something prohibited in the Catholic Church, but something that happened in Bukovina and Suwałki region. And as I already mentioned, common Catholic Lutheran village cemeteries in Suwałki region. We also have conversions. There were many options of changing denomination. Actually, from Judaism to Roman Catholicism, that's the kind of conversion that was strongly indicated, that was very important even, so it's quite well documented. While other cases are less visible in the documentation. For example, movement from Greek Catholicism to Orthodoxy or to Roman Catholicism, that is something that certainly happened, but is very, very poorly visible in the sources, because it was usually not indicated, because both Roman Catholics treated Greek Catholics as their own flock, because they were Catholics, while in the Orthodox Church of Bukovina in that period distinguished only between Eastern and Western Christians. So for them, Greek Catholics could be as well Eastern, exactly as the Orthodox faithful themselves. From other denominations to old believers, that's something that the officials, both in Bukovina and Latgale, were afraid of. But so we know that there were some cases, but it's impossible to state how many. It were rather very rare cases. So going to the conclusion, creating a multi-confessional and multi-ethnic society was never an aim of the official policy. According to Bukovina, you can find some claims in the literature that it was Habsburg rule that created multicultural Bukovina. Some Romanian scholars even wrote that it was to deprive Romanians of their country. So that's why the rulers from Vienna invited settlers from other places of various ethnicities and confessions. No, it was absolutely not an aim of the official policy, although some settlers were welcomed by the state in Bukovina, like Germans, but also old believers. However, the huge inflow of Ruthenians and the Jews from Galicia was against the will of the authorities. Creating such a community was the result of various factors: state campaigns, local landlords' initiatives, but also spontaneous movements of the people. And the reasons were mostly economic. I have a citation here from one of my favorite authors from the 18th century, Jędrzej Kitowicz. He was a parish priest in central Poland. He wrote a great book entitled "The Description of the Customs in Poland during the reign of August the Third." So, generally, in the middle of the 18th century, and among other things, he also wrote that I cite. Other nobles, wanting to have towns and villages more populous, welcomed in their estates dissidents from everywhere. And this was true not only for the Polish-Lithuanian nobility, but also for Bukovina or Latgale as well. And to finish, I would like to give you another example, more connected with present situation. From Czernowitz and Trakai. First, from Czernowitz, the places of worship of different groups are here just to visualize the city. In the memoirs of Kazimierz Feleszko, a Polish linguist, born in pre-war Czernowitz, I read that it was a common custom there to welcome each neighbor in his or her own language. So Romanian, Ukrainian, German or Polish, respectively. And I experienced exactly the same a few years ago in Trakai in Lithuania. Trakai is a small town next to Vilnius. And while being there, I once went with my host to the local market. I was just to carry the bags. And I noticed that when she entered butchers, she spoke Russian. When she entered grocery store, it was Polish. And only in the diary store, she used Lithuanian. I mean, she could have done everything in Lithuanian, as it's in Lithuania, but she knew the language of each of the shopkeepers and she adjusted to them. So exactly the same kind behavior from the multilinguistic, multi-ethnic community. So, my conclusion is that Bukovina was, it really was a great and is a great multicultural microcosm. But I think it was not unique. It is special in that it was more studied. Other regions received less attention of scholars. They have less scrupulous, less preserved documentation. However, if we try to combine it, we can see many phenomena as transregional and common for Bukovina and other Eastern European regions. Thank you very much.